shoot, they score!
Score!
We have put the cross in!
Put the shot, he scores!
This week in the NHL.
I felt like I did all the right things to prepare for this game.
We got to be focused all 60 minutes.
This week in the NHL.
The most arrogant team he's ever played against.
Do you think it's more of a personnel issue or more of a
scheme? He's dominating like the Jets wanted him to do.
This is NHL This Week with the Illegal Curve. Now Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Richard Pollock on your home of the Winnipeg Jets and all things hockey. TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening at TSN1290.ca, good evening, universe, and welcome to a special, fortuitous Monday edition of NHL This Week. 2 hours of hockey talk. I think you probably have a fairly good idea what we're going to discuss for the most part, but we do have two interviews lined up with Jeremy Rutherford of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and Joe Haggerty of CSNNewEngland.com to talk about the Blues and the Bruins, the Jets' two opponents this week. We start, of course, with the big news of the day throughout the hockey world.
I thought we were going to talk about Super Bowl 50.
We can do that at the end of the show there. We were going to talk about Super Bowl 50 until about 2 o'clock this afternoon when word came down that Dustin Byfuglien and the Winnipeg Jets have agreed to a long-term contract extension. It is 5 years in length. It is $38 million. That carries an average annual value, a salary cap hit of $7.6 million. Gentlemen, we've been waiting for some sort of news regarding either Byfuglien or Ladd since July 1st. It's taken until February 8th, but we now know that Dustin Byfuglien is a Winnipeg Jet for the foreseeable future. Your thoughts, Ezra, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on the five-year, $38 million contract extension?
Well, Drew, this is obviously big news for the city of Winnipeg, the Jets, and Dustin Byfuglien. And I think that, you know, we thought that Dustin Byfuglien had a good chance of being signed, especially guys with the way he's played this year, 15 goals, second most amongst NHL defensemen. And I just think at the end of the day, the Jets couldn't afford not to sign Dustin Byfuglien. There just aren't this amount of talented offensive defensemen in the NHL. And, you know, Richie wrote the article in the summer, and I believe that he came to a conclusion of 6 years at $7 million per season, if I remember correctly. And if you think about it, he gets one less year, mm-hmm. and he gets $600,000 more on the average annual value. So Richie was bang on. And they were talking about it quite a bit on H&L with Darren Bombing and Matty Leibel filling in for H&L, who are on their way back from the Super Bowl. But there just aren't many players that have his unique combination of skill, size, and vision, Rich. This is one of the most dynamic, physically intimidating players in the league. So I think it's an excellent signing. I think, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff and Larry Simmons did a great job with this contract. And, you know, you have to now wonder if this is going to impact Andrew Ladd being signed. But for now, they get one player, you know, off of their list of things to do.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a fair deal for both sides. I think that's where you kind of expected it to be. You never know the inside negotiations. You're thinking the Jets probably wanted it to be 4 years, and Byfuglien's camp probably wanted to be 6, and maybe 4 years, 8. The Jets were more comfortable with around that number, and the camp, Byfuglien's camp, was more at, you know, 6 years, $7 million, that kind of thing. So they meet essentially in the middle there at 5 years, 7.6. So maybe $100,000 more for that Byfuglien camp to get it done. I don't know if that's how the negotiations went, but this is a fair market deal. I think both sides are probably happy with it, which means that, you know, it's a deal that makes sense for both sides. I'm interested to see what it means for the bigger picture here and how it affects other decisions that need to be made. But overall, I mean, this was something that, if you're a Jets fan, you have to be happy this guy's in the fold, because you know what you're getting. You're getting, as Izzy mentioned, the qualities that Dustin Byfuglien brings to the table. Those aren't easy qualities to replace. So you simply could not lose him for nothing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. And then in a trade, what were you going to get? Well, probably something that wasn't going to help you immediately, at least to the level that Dustin Byfuglien was. So if you're a Jets fan who wants to compete sooner rather than later, this move should make you pretty happy. You just paid fair market for one of the best offensive defensemen in the National Hockey League.
With the signing, Byfuglien will be the third highest paid NHL defenseman behind only Montreal's PK Subban and Shea Weber of the Nashville Predators. Is that right? You know, are you happy? You know, is he the third? He's not the third best defenseman in the league, but are you fine with him getting paid the third highest amount of money?
That's fair market. Again, Drew, I mean, Subban's deal, those deals are signed. They're not all UFA years.
Mm-hmm.
Weber was offer sheeted by the Flyers on a long, long-term deal, and Subban was signed after a bridge. So you're not comparing apples to apples there. I think this is fair market. I have no issue with the contract from either side. Dustin Byfuglien is not the third best defenseman in the National Hockey League. We know that. That's pretty clear. But he's a very good defenseman. So, and those aren't easy to come by.
And Richie, he's certainly a top five offensive defenseman in my mind. And I think that the numbers prove it right now. He's got 15 goals. He's well on his way to another 20-goal season. He's got 20-goal seasons under his belt. And, you know, of course, you know, there are other defensemen, especially emerging younger defensemen. I mean, Aaron Ekblad right now,
yep,
I think is in the conversation for a top three or top five defenseman. And he's not even 21 years old yet, Richie. So, and again, I think you have to factor in Dustin Byfuglien and the market that he's in. And I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that this was an overpayment.
No, I don't think so.
But I think that when you consider that the Winnipeg Jets have never and may never land big-time free agents, Drew, we're talking Ryan Getzlaff, we're talking this year Steven Stamkos, they're never going to sign a $9 or $10 million player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin Byfuglien is a bona fide superstar. He's a two-time All-Star. He's a Stanley Cup champion. I think $7.6 million is fair based on what NHL players make nowadays.
Does this change the perception that the other players in the league will have about Winnipeg, seeing a player who could have fit in on 29 other teams, who would have been sought after by 29 other teams, deciding, you know what, I'd prefer to stay in Winnipeg, either the organization's treating me well or the city's treating me well? You know, Byfuglien, obviously, we know he would have had suitors at the trade deadline, and he would have had a ton of demand come July 1st, and he said, Winnipeg's where I want to, you know, put down roots, or is he sort of a unique case?
I don't know. I just think money talks.
But if money talks, he could have gotten more money probably on the open market.
Yeah, Drew, how much more? Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I think money talks in regards to free agency. Is what I mean. Is like you're talking about attractiveness of the market.
Yeah,
like,
just
I mean,
sort
if the Jets off,
on
the, yeah,
comment.
If the Jets offer you more money, you'll go. If it's the same, maybe that will have an effect. I don't really think so, to be honest. But you never know. It's a case by case. Like you mentioned, Byfuglien, he enjoys playing in Winnipeg. Does every player enjoy playing in Winnipeg? Probably not. But I bet you more do than most people think.
And we talked about it on Saturday's show, guys, that this number that the Jets and Dustin Byfuglien's agent Ben Hankinson came up with at the end of the day, this is not a number that I think has changed much since the summer.
But that's a question of why it took so long, then, Ezzy.
Right, and I don't have the answer to that.
Because you had a season of distraction here.
Sure.
And if that number was there in the summer, then why did it take so long?
And that's a question that only Kevin Cheveldayoff,
well, he's never going to answer,
and Buff's agent can answer, right? We'll never know why that is.
Cheveldayoff for sure won't answer. Hankinson almost assuredly also won't answer it. So
sure, we'll talk more about Cheveldayoff and the, what this means for Ladd and going forward, probably next segment. But you know, it seems like the Jets needed to do something to energize the fan base. I think
maybe that's true, Drew, but I don't think you do you don't sign a 5-year contract on the basis of that.
No, I'm not saying that was the reason why they did it, but I think it's an added bonus that this is a franchise that I think the fan base has been looking around, to your point, saying, why is this taking so long? This has been a lost year because nothing has happened.
Yeah, you can't directly, is there a correlation between the distractions and the overall poor play and execution? Maybe. We don't know for sure. You never know for sure.
Right.
But
everybody, I mean, Buff himself admitted it was a distraction.
You think it is, and then you wonder why, you know, what's changed since the summer. That's a fair assessment.
You know, Drew, I got to agree with Richie here. I don't think this is at all to do with re-energizing the crowd or, pardon me, the fans. I think when you're talking about a long-term commitment, and we talked about this on Saturday's show, You don't make 5, 6, 7 year commitments just at the last minute. This is something that has been in the works for a long time, since last season ended, really, Richie. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that it was term. I think that, you know, that's my personal belief, that, you know, Buffs camp was looking for 6, 7. We heard 8 years from Tim Campbell back in December when he was reporting what Dustin Byfuglien and Andrew Ladd could be asking for in terms of amount of years and amount of money. So I think that, you know, when you look at it, you know, potentially he leaves 1 year on the table,
mm-hmm.
but he's still under contract for 5 years, which means that he will most likely, if not finish his career as a Winnipeg Jet, which is a good thing, you know, he has the opportunity to sign one more contract at 35, 36, whatever it is. But most mm-hmm. likely,
yeah.
the majority of the end of his career is going to be with the Winnipeg Jets. Sure, absolutely. He could get traded, but, I mean, you can't really speculate on that right now.
Well, to your point about the trade, he has a no-move clause for the first 2 years of this deal, which takes effect immediately. And then the final 3 years, he has to submit teams as part of a partial no-trade clause. You know, are you surprised, or, you know, are you pleased from a pleased quote unquote perspective that it's not a complete no move clause for the entire 5 years of the contract?
Yeah, I mean that's probably a good win for the Jets. I mean, you can't hand out too many of these no moves, and then you're handcuffed and you're in these Steven Stamkos situations. Now,
sure.
Truthfully, the biggest impediment to a deal down the road will be production versus contract if it's not the same. Meaning, if he's not producing at the level of that contract, depending on what the cap is, that may be an issue. But yeah, that's true, Drew. That's a factor. That's a good point.
So the Winnipeg Jets, of course, signed Dustin Byfuglien. It's a 5-year, $38 million contract extension for the big number 33 for the Jets. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll talk about the effect on Andrew Ladd's contract negotiation and the effect on Jacob Trouba and his RFA status. You're listening to NHL This Week. We're live on TSN 1290.
NHL This Week with the Illegal Curve on your home of the Winnipeg Jets and all things hockey. TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
What was it like to get mobbed by your teammates when the coach announced it at the end of practice?
It's exciting. It's, you know, I guess it could have been worse. It could have skated away from me and you know, left me by myself. But, you know, it's, they're excited. I'm excited. And, you know, we're starting new.
Winnipeg Jets defenseman Dustin Byfuglien, after signing a 5-year contract extension that will keep him in the city of Winnipeg and with the Jets organization for the foreseeable future. Welcome back to NHL This Week. This segment brought to you by the Rady Fitness Center, official fitness facility of Illegal Curve Rady. 8 Radio, with 52,000 square feet of gym space, new equipment, and a saltwater pool. Get back in shape and reclaim your glory days at the Rady Fitness Center. For details and to save up to $100 off a new membership, visit RadyJCC.com/IllegalCurve.
I know that Soch doesn't want us to talk about the Super Bowl, but Peyton Manning sure reclaimed his glory days.
I don't know about that. He maybe survived the game, but his glory days were a lot better than that.
He got the ring. That's
he got
all
the
that
ring.
Matters.
That's all that matters. And we'll talk. We'll see if we talk about the Super Bowl. We're going to, but then a lot more exciting news happened, and that of course was Dustin Byfuglien signing with the Winnipeg Jets. His teammates mobbing him after practice as the Jets skated today in St. Louis, where they prepared to play the Blues tomorrow evening. You know, Byfuglien was talking, he talked about, you know, the future of the organization and that the future is bright and he thinks they're on the right path to a Stanley Cup. Is this sort of a vote of confidence for what this Winnipeg Jets organization has been going through for the last 5 years, seeing a player like Buff re-sign? Or is that, you know, or is that, as you say, Richard, money talks more than anything?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much to read into that, Drew. They gave him, I thought, it was a fair market value deal. He's happy where he is. The thing about it, Drew, is the fans love him. I mean, he's such a favorite of the crowd. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. He's comfortable. His family's comfortable. He's close to home. So, sure, those are factors. But as he said in All-Star Weekend, and I believe this, I certainly believe this to be true, is if the Jets were offering $5.5 million, he'd go find somewhere else to be settled.
Yeah.
He'd use that $2.1 million to make himself a nice, comfortable spot in the back of whatever city and, you know, in the backyard of some other city. And that's just the truth. And I don't blame him for it. He's not going to give the team a break. The team's not going to give. Everybody's out to make as much as possible, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, his name is on a contract, and he's now going to be a Winnipeg Jet for the next 5 years, and that's all that matters. And Dustin Byfuglien has always been one of the players that busts his buns more than anybody at times on the team. And there are other players, the heart and soul players that the Winnipeg Jets have. Blake Wheeler is one of those leaders. Andrew Ladd, Mark Stewart. I mean, Buff is the type of player, that, I'll say it again, and, you know, the fact that he was mobbed at practice today shows you how much he's loved by the teammates. You'd never see Evander Kane mobbed by his teammates after signing a contract, put it that way, right?
Sure.
But, I mean, when you talk about the future, of course the future looks bright. The Jets have a lot of good young prospects, not only coming up, but that are currently playing for the Jets. I mean, Mark Scheifele's still young. Jacob Trouba's still young. Nikolai Ehlers is in his rookie year. Nick Petan, you know, is most likely going to be part of that group next year.
Keep in mind, this is the same team as it was a week ago.
Yeah.
This distraction's gone.
Right.
But the same team that you had a week ago.
Right.
That was tied for last.
Is there still work that the Jets need to do, Richie? Absolutely. They're a long way away from being a Stanley Cup team. I mean, they might not even be a playoff team this year, right? So, you know, I can understand that he wants to be here for the better years, the years that the Jets are becoming one of those teams that can actually compete for a Stanley Cup. Now the Jets are a team that's battling for a playoff spot. And even last year, I mean, they were clearly in over their heads against the Anaheim Ducks. Sure, they were leading for the majority of the first three games of that series, but the Ducks were a better team. I mean, Getzlaff, Perry, Kessler, those guys, I mean, those are la creme de la creme of the NHL. So the Jets have a very bright future. I mean, I think we'd all agree with that. I mean, the way Connor's playing, University of Michigan, all that. But they still have to surround those young prospects with the right mix of players, right? So I think that Buff is a big part of that. But it remains to be seen, you know, if the Jets are going to be a contender in the years to come based on what types of signings and trades are made. And Andrew Ladd is unsigned. So that's still a looming issue around this team.
I don't disagree. I mean, I don't think the Jets are as bad as their record is right now.
Sure.
I don't. Certainly, I think that there's pieces there that they can take in the next step. At the same time, it is the same pieces as it was a week ago. So you've eliminated a distraction, and I think that is, personally, I think that was a significant distraction. I think the Ladd part is a distraction as well.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what happens here into the summer. I have trouble evaluating the Byfuglien deal in a vacuum here.
Well, I
know you wanted to get to the questions, Drew, and we'll probably touch on it throughout the show. We'll take calls later, too.
Yeah, we're going
to
open up the phone lines in the second hour. So starting around 7:15 onwards, we're going to open up the phone lines so you can get your opinion in on the Buff signing here with the Jets.
Richie, maybe you should evaluate the contract in a microwave.
Yeah.
As opposed to a microcosm?
What happens with Ladd? How does this affect Jacob Trouba's contract? Mm-hmm. How does it affect managing Jacob Trouba? You still have those right side guys, which we've talked about for many years, with Bogosian subbed in for Myers, and now obviously Myers there. There are other decisions to be made, and how does this affect that? You know, does it throw it off? He's at 5.2 now. He's gone up to 7.6. It's a $2.4 million increase on the back end. Now, cash out for Myers is less than his cap hit, but again, the cap hits for Stewart, Byfuglien, Enstrom, and Myers are not insignificant.
They are a grant. They're over.
Enstrom's 5.75. Drew Byfuglien's is going to be 7.6. Myers is what, 5.5?
21.475 for Enstrom, Myers, Byfuglien under the new deal, and Mark Stewart. That doesn't even factor in yet, of course, Jacob Trouba.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean that's for your top four, and to me there are issues there defensively. I mean, I don't think I have a great trust personally in those players defensively on a consistent basis. So that is a lot of money there. And so there are other things that you need to see what happens from this deal. But this deal, looking at it on its own, to me, is a fair deal for both sides.
Yeah, and I really don't believe that Buff's contract has a big impact on Trouba's contract, because I think all along, at least it hasn't changed the impact it would have on Trouba's contract, because I think all along the Jets wanted to sign Buff and they obviously want to sign Trouba. And I've said all along that don't expect Trouba to necessarily sign a 6 or 7 year deal. The bridge contract is an absolute option. And of course, Trouba's camp wants to sign a long-term deal, whether that's 6, 7, maybe even 8 years.
I don't know. I mean, it's fair as it's possible. I mean, some guys don't want to sign those. Some guys want to better themselves for 2 years.
Well, I'll tell you why I think right now, after this signing, why Trouba's camp might be looking for that long-term deal. And the reason is,
get the power play time.
Where is he getting his power play time that's going to, you know, 2 years from now? How is he going to improve his offensive numbers unless he dramatically forces his way into significant power play time?
But at the end of the day, the Jets have all the leverage, right?
Sure.
Right.
And Jacob Trouba is, I think we'd all agree, and I'm a big fan of Jacob Trouba, so let's not get it twisted here, but I think we'd all agree that Jacob Trouba has not had the year that he had last year. He's taken a bit of a step back, especially offensively. And I'm not saying that he hasn't been solid for the Jets, but look at his numbers. And I think it also has to be mentioned, just to play devil's advocate with myself here, mm-hmm. He's playing the left side with Dustin Byfuglien, and he's getting more ice time.
Until the middle of last, until
right?
the game
so,
before
I mean,
last.
The
Carolina
you know,
game,
so
yeah.
he's a right-shot defenseman who's playing on the left side with Buff, as opposed to last year playing with Mark Stewart.
Well, and the truth is, guys, is that the power play time you're talking about, Drew, I don't think he's earned it so far.
I don't disagree. Yeah. He certainly hasn't earned it over Myers or Byfuglien. I mean, there's no disputing that Myers and Byfuglien are ahead of him offensively. I mean, I don't think anybody would make that argument.
I think Enstrom quarterbacks the power play pretty nicely, too. His offensive totals haven't been there either, but I think he works the power play from the point pretty well, too. Doesn't have the best shot, but I think they feel more comfortable at times putting him out there.
Well, and we're going to talk about this throughout the course of the show, of course. But, I mean, the question is, now that you have your cost certainty on Dustin Byfuglien, do you take Jacob Trouba and his pending RFA status, and you're not sure what his contract demands are going to be? Do you take that, and do you, you know, look again at a
well?
At
you're not
Hamanek?
Sure. We're not sure.
Yeah,
they're sure.
They're sure what they're. Yeah,
well, they should have an idea.
Yeah, I'm sure that they do.
Yeah,
but do you now, knowing that you already have?
But Drew, let me get into that for a second,
please.
Here. Okay, I mean, you have Myers. You seem to like Myers. I mean, you never know, but you seem to like Myers. You clearly like Byfuglien. You just gave him the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to trade. There's that rumors going around. You're going to trade Trouba for Hamanek because Hamanek wants to play here and is a good character guy by all accounts. And he's got a favorable contract. But he gives you the same problem. You just did that. Bogosian for Myers gives you the same problem. You could argue certainly Myers is a better player.
Yeah.
And then Trouba and Hamanek. Now, you could say, well, we think we're getting the better player, so it's not a big deal. That's true, but you're just creating the same problem over and over again.
Well, I think the only thing that Hamanek gives you is cost certainty.
Well, there's two different... Sure, he gives you cost certainty, and frankly, he gives you a reliable defensive defenseman.
Sure.
But where is he playing to make himself successful?
And you still are going to have the most money in the NHL tied up in defensemen.
Yeah.
Because Hamanek makes, what, $4 million a year, which is a good deal.
It's a 3.8,
less than
I
that.
Believe.
Yeah.
Or it's a 3.8.
It's a 3.8, but the thing is, I guess you can play him, you know, even strength and load up his penalty kill time.
Sure.
And don't get me wrong, he can shoot the puck, and he can play on your second unit if you want him to power play-wise.
You don't need him to, necessarily, and he's not playing
right,
for...
Right, but I mean, do they play enough, and do the horses need to play? I mean, Byfuglien needs to be out there, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree wholeheartedly that you still have too many guys on the right side for the minutes to go wrong. And you know, I think Jacob Trouba is more attractive, of course, because he's been able to play the left side as of late. You can argue about
sure.
the success
I mean,
about that.
Right, fair enough.
But, I mean, he's at least been able to do it, and he hasn't looked completely like an abomination.
Yep.
So he's taking that, and, you know, his agents and Kurt Overhart are, you know, going to go to Kevin Cheveldae off in the offseason, and they're going to do it now whenever they start negotiating. And they're going to say, look, yeah, he's not getting the points, but he's not getting the points because the opportunity hasn't been there, but you don't have anybody else on the left side. This is where he gets his leverage from, looking at the Jets' weaknesses.
Maybe, and he's not arbitration eligible, but I'm not so sure how far that argument goes in arbitration. Not that it shouldn't, but I'm not sure how far it goes.
Sure, because an arbitrator would really have to understand more than what
you
they're seeing on paper.
You don't have much time either, right?
Yeah, it's a quick, what do you got, 15 minutes to make your point?
That's a good question, Drew. I think I'd have to check. I think the hearing itself, I don't know. I can't speak to that because I don't know for sure.
Yeah. These are
I know that's not very long. I was under the impression it was about an hour and a half, but I'd have to double check.
Okay, but whatever it is. I mean, these are all questions that the Jets organization is now going to have to answer, but at least they know they have a big check mark next to resolve the Dustin Byfuglien situation. And I think that was the first domino that needed to fall before they can now answer the questions about Andrew Ladd and Jacob Trouba. Let's go to break. We're going to bring in Jeremy Rutherford, preview tomorrow night's Jets-Blues game. Much more, of course, to come on the Dustin Byfuglien contract signing and your calls in hour number two. You can get to us on Twitter in the studio at Legal Curve. This is NHL This Week. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to NHL This Week with the Illegal Curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to NHL This Week for Monday, the 8th of February. This segment brought to you by Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys has become known as the world's best jersey customizer. Keener's knowledge of jerseys is unsurpassed. If you want awesome jerseys for your team or have a jersey you want customized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com or find them on your next opponent.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Legal Curve Hockey Show our good friend from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Jeremy Rutherford. Jeremy, good evening and thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Good to be here, guys.
Always our pleasure. Jeremy, obviously brought you on to discuss tomorrow evening's Jets-Blues game in St. Louis. Got to start with a little bit of bad news for the St. Louis Blues. They lose Alex Pietrangelo for 3 weeks as a result of, or at least a minimum of 3 weeks, as a result of a knee injury. Obviously, tremendously significant injury for the Blues on the back end. But before, you know, you talk about the injury as well, but does this also sort of remove the discussion of Kevin Shattenkirk potentially being traded between now and February 29th?
Yeah, first the injury. This was one that happened late in the game Saturday night in the win over the Minnesota Wild. Charlie Coyle kind of caught Alex Pietrangelo along the boards, and it was a knee-on-knee. And so he went down. I think there was about 7 minutes left and didn't return. And today we get word that he's on IR and he'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks. So it looks like probably a knee sprain. Moving forward, it's tough sledding without Alex Pietrangelo. He's a guy who's fourth in the league in average ice time at over 26 minutes a game. He's 3 minutes plus on the PK, 2 minutes plus on the power play. So he's a guy on both ends of special teams, and the Blues are going to have a tough time replacing him. They're going to move Kevin Shattenkirk into that top pair on the right side. And obviously he's a guy who puts up points, but Alex Pietrangelo carries a load, and Kevin Shattenkirk's going to feel how much that load is. So it's going to be tough starting tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets. And in terms of the Shattenkirk and the trade rumors, those have been going on since last summer, and the Blues have been so banged up. Doug Armstrong has said that he'd wait till the team got healthy before he could reevaluate things and see where they stood on the trade front, but that's not going to happen now with Alex Pietrangelo being out. So if the Blues had any idea of trading Kevin Shattenkirk before the trade deadline, and I don't know that anything was imminent, I'm sure this changes those plans, but I don't believe anything was close. They've talked to some teams around the league for the past couple months, but nothing imminent that I knew of.
Jeremy, I guess it's not all bad news for the St. Louis Blues. You were tweeting earlier today that it looks like Jaden Schwartz is going to come back into the lineup. He won't play tomorrow night versus the Winnipeg Jets, but it looks like he's going to be back in less than a week. When do you expect him to come back, and how big of a boost is that going to give the Blues offense? Because it's been struggling at times this year.
Yeah, big time. He's been on the ice probably for about a month, and he started skating with the team, a full participant in practice, probably about a week or so ago. And we actually thought he might come back sooner than this, but he said the physical part of it, you know, the battles and getting in the corners, still not there yet. He's not completely comfortable. So he's going to give it at least one more game off tomorrow night, and then we'll probably see him on this road trip. The Blues go to Florida on Friday.
Jeremy, the, you know, rumor of the outdoor game or the Blackhawks and the Blues at Busch Stadium 2017 Winter Classic. What's been the reaction to that report?
Yeah, I think everybody's excited. You guys can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think everybody's excited, you know, and, you know, the league has not announced yet who's going to play in the Winter Classic, but, you know, sources told me, and I had the story a day or so ago, that it could be the Blues and the Blackhawks at Busch Stadium January 2nd. 2017, and that's obviously a big for the St. Louis fans. I know that some fans around the league are kind of getting tired of seeing the Blackhawks play in all the outdoor games, but it's a natural rivalry with St. Louis, and then also when you play those outdoor games, you have to get the ratings and pack the stadium, and certainly Blackhawk fans travel well. So, you know, I think it'd be a good matchup and one that St. Louis would welcome with open arms.
Should know that's your story, Jeremy. As you mentioned, you broke that story, which is great work on your part. And I wanted to ask, you know, the idea of playing outside brings to mind the fact that the St. Louis Rams have, of course, left town now and they're going back to Los Angeles. Has that affected the interest in the Blues at all? Like, do you expect the interest in St. Louis Blues to spike as a result of one less team competing for dollars?
Well, I'll give you the nutshell answer here. I think that it will help the Blues because you're talking about 30,000 Rams season ticket holders who are now, you know, looking for something else to do with their money, and a lot of that's sponsorship money. So I think that can help the Blues. You know, do people, you know, watch football, lose their team, and all of a sudden say, okay, well, now I'm a hockey fan? I don't know. So I think the Blues, they have a good attitude about this. I talked to the owner, Tom Stillman, and their business CEO Chris Zimmerman about this a couple weeks ago when the Rams announced that they were leaving, and they said, hey, we still have to work for this. We've got a plan in place. We're going out. We're getting into the community. We're going to work hard. So I don't think it's as simple as, hey, the Rams are gone. Let's just sit back and watch everybody show up. I don't think that's it. But I think in the big picture, with all the dollars that are out there, the disposable income that fans may have, they could now spend that on the Blues.
Jeremy Rutherford's our guest on NHL This Week. He covers the St. Louis Blues for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Of course, the Blues and the Jets tomorrow evening in St. Louis, a game you can hear live on TSN 1290. Jeremy, we were talking sort of about the Pietrangelo injury and talking about injuries in general with the Blues. Is there a thought, you know, among Ken Hitchcock, maybe the front office, that, you know, they haven't yet seen this team all together, given the number of injuries they've had throughout the course of the season, that they might not know just how good this team actually will be when they're all healthy, if they're all healthy heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, no, that's been the case. I mean, they've been without guys, and we're talking about significant guys, for long stretches. You know, we're talking Stastny's, Shattenkirk's, Schwartz's, Jake Allen's, and now Pietrangelo, and none of these have been short injuries. You know, I didn't even bring up Steve Ott, Patrick Berglund, some guys kind of on the periphery a little bit. I think I did it at the All-Star break. The Blues, through 52 games, had 40 different starting lineups. So
wow.
You're right. They haven't been able to look at the team that they envisioned on the ice. And that's the one thing that Doug Armstrong said is, hey, let's get back from the break. Let's get healthy and take a peek at it before the trade deadline. But without Pietrangelo, you're not going to be able to do that before February 29th. So, you know, they're going to have to make a decision on what they think they might have to do based on what's out there at the time. And so I think they do have a pretty good team. For whatever reason, I seem to think that they've had better teams the past couple years. I really do. And so I don't know, you know, their chances come playoff time. But I, for some reason, this team, despite all the injuries, have been able to hang in there all year long.
Jeremy, as you know, it's a big night for St. Louis Blues assistant GM Marty Brodeur. They're going to unveil a statue of him in New Jersey, of course, and they're going to retire his number 30. And we were talking about it quite a bit on Saturday. He was dropping the puck at the game on Saturday. How has he adjusted to the role of assistant GM in St. Louis?
Yeah, I think pretty good. Hey, a quick funny story about him. I talked to him before he left for New Jersey. I just got a quick interview saying, talking about retiring the number in New Jersey. And he said, I got a phone call today, Jeremy, from Kiefer Sutherland. He told me that he did the voiceover for my tribute up in New Jersey. And so here's Marty Brodeur, the all-time winningest goalie in hockey history, and he is so excited that he, you know, answered the phone and it was Kiefer Sutherland. So I thought that was kind of funny.
That is pretty cool.
But he is up there in New Jersey. They're doing the statue tonight, and they're doing the number 30 retirement ceremony tomorrow night. And as far as how he's adjusted to life as a GM, assistant GM, I should say, it's quite remarkable. I've said to other folks here in St. Louis, other media folks, that here's a guy who, you know, had everything, just could have rode off into the sunset, you know, and taken some vacation time for a couple years. But he literally, after a 21-year career in New Jersey, moves to St. Louis, plays a handful of games, wins three, and then just goes right up into the booth, and now he's at practice every day and traveling with the team and so on and so forth. So to me, it's remarkable for a guy who put so much time and deserved a break when it was all over to just jump in head first. But he wants to be part of this, and he wants to be part of a front office. And I think eventually he'll probably make his way back to New Jersey at some point. But a three-year deal with the Blues, and I'm telling you, he puts in some hours with this Blues team.
I'm just shocked, Jeremy, that Ezzie didn't make the predictable retiring the jersey number 24 for Kiefer Sutherland joke. You know, you look at the standings, and Jeremy, and based on the new system and the new format for the playoffs, I mean, you can kind of have an idea of who you're going to play a little bit further out from the start of the playoffs than you could before, when you're really on the last day of the season, there could be a bunch of changes. As of now, the Blues are slated to play the Dallas Stars, which I don't think actually is the worst matchup for them necessarily. How does that affect? I mean, I know Dallas and Chicago are 5 points apart, but clearly the Blues have a pretty good stranglehold on that third spot and look like they're going to be in that, you know, second, third matchup. Does that affect at all the decision-making? Right, you know, February 29th, you're going to be a month and a bit away from the playoffs. You could have a greater gap. Does that possibly affect the decisions they make?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. It's hard to get into Doug Armstrong's mind because, when he makes a move, we've seen in the past, you know, trading Eric Johnson, trading for Jaroslav Halak, trading for Ryan Miller. He really makes some big moves when he feels like it's necessary. So, just based on what he's been saying, that he wanted to get an evaluation of this team, I don't know that the opponent is going to matter much. There's a lot of pressure here in St. Louis to do well. You know, they've been knocked out of the first round the past couple of years, and, they've been one of the favorites the past few years and not had that playoff success. Kind of a surprise that they came back with Ken Hitchcock and his coaching staff, but to their credit, they've gotten the job done with all the injuries. I think Doug Armstrong is the type of guy who's going to look at a situation and say, is this the team I think is going to be able to maximize its potential and go far in the playoffs? And if not, he'll make a move. I don't think whether that's going to be Chicago or Dallas in the first round, that's going to matter much because, the Blues have struggled with both, quite frankly. And so the Dallas Stars present a lot of speed, got a lot of skill, and the Blues have had a tough time against it. So it's going to be some very important decisions. I mean, if this is 2 or 3 years ago and the Blues are still, getting into the playoffs and still kind of have a little bit of a grace period with the fans, we're talking one thing, but there's no grace period anymore here in St. Louis.
Jeremy Rutherford covers the St. Louis Blues for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Jeremy, always appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us this evening on NHL This Week.
Yep, guys, we'll watch the game tomorrow. Should be a good one, and you got your guy under contract for a long time now, huh?
That we did. It'll be interesting to see the reverberations of that contract throughout the NHL. I'm sure Kevin Shattenkirk is keeping a close eye exactly. on that contract negotiation.
Yep, for sure.
All righty, Jeremy, take care, buddy.
All right, yep, to you, bye.
Let's head to break. When we come back, more on the Byfuglien contract signing. What impact does this have now on Andrew Ladd? You're listening to NHL This Week. We're live on TSN 1290.
NHL This Week with the Illegal Curve returns on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Big thanks to Jeremy Rutherford for joining us to discuss the St. Louis Blues. In case you missed any of that or any of the show in its entirety, we'll have it available on our website, illegalcurve.com and tsn1290.ca as well. This segment brought to you by Frank Zappia and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtor of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com or at 204-772-2100. Richie, you got some praise from Frank earlier today. You wouldn't have seen it. You're not on social media.
Yeah, he texted me.
Oh, he texted you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He liked your comment from Saturday's show about who would win between Hurricane Ditka and Kyle Connor.
I don't know who would win.
Yeah, it's you know, there was about you pointing out that the fawning may be a little bit too much, but it was well received by our buddy Frank.
I think I lost our younger listeners.
Yeah, I think you definitely did. Yeah. That's cool. That Bears is going real back in the AD. Kevin Shovel Day Off, of course, met with the media after signing Dustin Byfuglien. And he was asked naturally, as you'd expect, about Andrew Ladd and where things stand with that contract negotiation. Here's Kevin Shovel Day Off in all his glory answering the question about Andrew Ladd.
Kevin, knowing that you have another big decision or two ahead in the next 3 weeks here, how important was this to take this issue off your plate?
Well, there's lots of pieces to the puzzle. There's no question. It's you don't deal with any one thing in a singular fashion. There's lots of moving parts behind the scenes that obviously we've got a lot of work to do ahead of us. You know, whether it's now or whether it's in the summer, you know, there's different things. Obviously, UFA situation, there's RFA situations, but that's the National Hockey League. That's what this is all about. And you know, again, there's teams in this league in similar situations, you know, as ours. And you know, with the uncertainty of the salary cap, you know, moving forward. You know, those are things that you have to sit back, analyze, and project. And the projection is always the key.
Alrighty, who wants that one?
It's great. I mean, you could just say I'd rather not comment on it. I mean, I know that's a lot less words. But, I mean, there's teams. Certainly there's a puzzle. There must be pieces. Certainly there's teams in the league. And there's UFAs. We know that. And there's also RFAs. We also know that. I mean, if you're not going to comment, just say no comment. Just say, you know, we're going to deal with that privately, and then once there's news, you'll hear about it. That's all you really have to say.
It's true.
I mean, you don't need to talk for 45 seconds. I mean.
Okay, so let's talk about Andrew Ladd. What does this Byfuglien contract extension do to Andrew Ladd, if anything at all? Does this make it more likely, less likely, same as before, that he's going to be a member of the Winnipeg Jets on March the 1st?
I don't know the answer, Drew, and I think it's a really good question. I know people are asking it, and it's a fair question. It's the next question that you have to ask after this, right, is what happens?
Sure.
And I don't think for sure it means Ladd's on his way out. I mean, you read the tea leaves, it appears that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not entirely convinced that's what will happen. I mean, if I had to put the odds, I'd put the odds at probably 65-70 that it happens, that he's dealt.
So 65-35, let's say, that he's no longer a member of the Winnipeg Jets.
But not impossible. Not impossible, because if you take a step back and think to the off season, I mean, how much has this season changed the perspective on the both players we're talking about? Well, I don't think for Byfuglien it was a matter of not wanting him. It was a matter of not wanting to go, to me, probably to the 5 years. So be it. They made that decision.
Sure.
For Ladd, I mean, if they're as close as, we're not intimately involved, but if they're as close as the reports stated.
Sure. Only like a month or 6 weeks ago, they said they were close.
There's a possibility there that's something that could be done. Now, also, Ladd is not a defenseman.
It's true.
Obvious statement. But the idea is, I mean,
that's
Jets.
Why you come here for that kind of insight.
Yeah, but the Jets don't have, the point is, Drew, the Jets don't have a ton of forward depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, they have no forward depth right now. Sure. In the system, they have some forwards, but Ladd's, as he knows, Ladd's a big guy. He's a reliable player. That's not something that's easily replaceable. So if you lose Andrew Ladd, or you trade Andrew Ladd, because you can't lose him for nothing, you cannot do that. If you trade Andrew Ladd, you're going to have to replace Andrew Ladd. And it's not as if, with Evander Kane, they were able to have the pieces in place, pros, whatever it may be, Stafford comes back, you could replace him. But if you don't have a guy next ready to roll, then you're going to have to spend the money on somebody, and what does that end up being? So I'm not convinced entirely that he's gone yet.
Right, and Dustin Byfuglien's 5-year contract extension today, Drew, obviously affects the ability to re-sign Andrew Ladd in the sense that it ties up cap money going forward, but I think the two players are mutually exclusive. I really do. I mean, you're talking about a long-term situation for both players, right? So as we talked about, you don't make a decision now that you haven't thought out for most of the season and in the off season, right? So it hasn't changed much. They knew if Buff was going to sign, it was going to be for around seven and a half, right? So they knew this already, right? It's not something that they didn't factor in. So I truly believe, again, it has to do with the amount of years and sure, maybe the term, but more so I think for the amount of years. And I still think it's going to be tough to sign all of Byfuglien, Ladd, Scheifele, Trouba. You're going to have Ehlers coming up, you know, in 2 years.
Yeah, that's
it's going to be tough.
That's always moving. If you want to spend, you'll spend.
And that also, I believe, if it turns out that Ladd is re-signed and Trouba is signed and Scheifele is signed, and that's a possibility that all four of those players are going to be signed, that's really going to hurt your ability, Drew, to go out in the offseason and sign a free agent. But certainly a free agent that's going to have an impact on your team.
But do they need to do that if they sign those guys?
Well, as you said, they have all these players now,
but they're
not a playoff team.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't think they're as bad as they're playing as Z, and you expect some better performances, and there need to be some moves, trade and such. But you need to add depth players for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about number one potential and all that stuff, and there's different things there. But, I mean, I certainly see Ezzy's point, but they can spend the money if they want to. There's a way to do it. They may not choose to,
sure,
which is their prerogative.
And Richie, the salary cap's not going to go up much next year.
Yeah, but they have room.
Well, they have room, but they don't spend.
I mean, again, that's their choice, right? And which is fine. The only team they can do what they want, but it's not completely, you know.
Well, to your point, Richard, what you're saying is if you lose Andrew Ladd, you know, or you trade Andrew Ladd or whatever, you're going to have to fill that roster spot. And maybe you don't fill it at $6 million a year, but if you're going to have to pay somebody you don't think as highly of $4.5 million
to come here, why
wouldn't you just pay Ladd the $6 million?
You might say 2 years, 3 years, and then he wants 6 years. Yeah, sure. But that's, you have to replace the guy. There's nobody. It's not like there's somebody next in line ready to roll.
Right. Exactly. There's nobody banging. I mean, we see the Moose and their struggles and everything else. There's nobody coming up through the farm system. And sure, maybe some of your prospects are going to be good players.
We're talking top six role next year.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. There's nobody that's going to play that role. And, you know, you need your young guys. You need your Kyle Connors and your Brandon Lemieux to come in and be cheap and quality talent, because
right,
that's what you see all the teams
yep,
that succeed
sure,
and
for
win
sure
the Stanley Cup spend to the salary cap, but they also get contributions from guys who are on entry-level deals.
No, sure. We talked about Kyle Connor on Saturday with George Sippel of the Detroit Free Press, who covers the University of Michigan hockey team. He doesn't even think Kyle Connor will be in the NHL next year. I mean, there's a chance of that, right? And you can't expect Kyle Connor, for example, to step in next year. You're not counting on that. I mean, he might be a couple of years away from the NHL, right? So the point that Richie's making, I think, is well taken. Making and taking rhymes. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ladd, right? As you mentioned, the first domino is now down, Drew. And Andrew Ladd, you know, was expected to be signed in the offseason. We were talking about it back in July after the draft, and now here you go. It's exactly 3 weeks till the trade deadline, and you still have one of your top players not signed.
That goes back to what's taking so long and what took so long.
And why is it?
Those narratives don't really change. I mean, we're sure that the signature here today on the contract and all that. But as what you're saying about Ladd is true, as far as we can tell, and it's very similar to what you're saying about Ladd, aside from this 45-50 games clip, we're in the summer. So how has that affected things?
Sure, and exactly. And why did it take the entire three-quarters of a season or two-thirds of the season to come to the decisions you're coming to? Which is,
I say that for a number of reasons, but one of the main ones is, did this season, it looks like they're not going to make the playoffs, did the season need to go this way? And what, we don't know. But again, we asked in the first segment, would it have? If not for these distractions, amongst other reasons, of course, depth and other things.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think you'll get the answer to that question, determining if they sign Andrew Ladd.
You'll never get the answer.
You're never going to get the answer to that question. Obviously, I think we articulated that pretty clearly in that first when we listened to that quote. But if they choose to re-sign Ladd, I think it's a pretty clear vote that the organization's saying this year was an aberration, and we strongly believe that the core of this team is good enough to get us to the promised land, whether that be the playoffs or the Stanley Cup or whatever
which
it might be.
A whole different discussion, Drew, because let's be honest, the core of this team has not gotten to this point. If you're talking about those core, Wheeler, Ladd, Little, Byfuglien, Enstrom, and they're 5 years, going to be 5 years older at the end of the season than they were before.
Sure.
So then you're basically saying this core isn't good enough, but if we complement it with young players that we think are good enough, then we might be better suited to make a viable run.
Or maybe this core is good enough if Mark Scheifele continues to elevate his game and Nikolaj Ehlers continues to elevate his game and Connor Hellebuck, you know, is a top flight NHL goaltender. That is really what the question that, you know, is almost unanswered still with regard after, you know, Byfuglien is signed and depending on what happens with Andrew Ladd. These are the big uncertainties. You know, is it possible we're looking back a year from now and saying this was a mistake? It's possible, but you never know until, you know, you venture down that road.
That's the way contracts work, Drew.
That's right. Let's head to break. We'll come back. We'll preview Thursday night's game against the Boston Bruins with Joe Haggerty of Comcast Sports Network in New England. You're listening to NHL This Week. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is NHL This Week with the O'Legal Curve on your home of the Winnipeg Jets and all things hockey. TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Second hour of NHL This Week. We're live on TSN 1290. This segment brought to you by the Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, a proper fitting custom-made mouth guard is a must-have piece of protective equipment. Don't be an Ezzy. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial teeth and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the program Joe Haggerty. Joe covers the Boston Bruins for CSN New England. Joe, good evening, and thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, you got it. My pleasure. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Joe, obviously brought you on. The Bruins make their only visit to Winnipeg later on this week. Thursday night, they'll be in town. Bruins in third spot in the Atlantic Division right now, but they are certainly in a dogfight when it comes to the NHL playoff standings. You know, we saw the Bruins very early in the year. I think it was the Jets' first game of the season, way back when the Jets had a victory in Boston. Since then, you know, how would you describe the Bruins' season as it's unfolded over the last 51 games?
Yeah, you know, it's been up and down. They've got some of the core group that's left over from the Stanley Cup teams, but this is a very different team now. It's a much younger team. It's a team that's trying to find some consistency. And you've seen that in the way things have gone record-wise. You know, they'll win a few in a row, lose a few in a row. And very good on the road, but maddeningly inconsistent and just poor sometimes on their own home ice. And there are just things about the team when you watch them that you sort of realize now this is not the same team that was going to the Stanley Cup Finals, that was going deep into the playoffs, that was a power in the Eastern Conference. You know, you trade away Milan Lucic, who's coming back to Boston for his return tomorrow night. You trade away Dougie Hamilton. You change over a bunch of the, you know, sort of peripheral support players that were on that Cup team, and it's kind of a retooling. And that's the way it is. They're hoping to get in the playoffs. It'd be great if they could get some experience there. And I think I don't see them going much past the first round if they do make the playoffs. I just don't think they're built for it right now. But they're looking to compete while retooling the roster and getting younger at the same time. Always a challenge for any team to do that, and they're in the middle of it right now.
Joe, you mentioned Milan Lucic, and before the Jets play the Boston Bruins on Thursday, Milan Lucic is going to bring his LA Kings to play the Boston Bruins tomorrow night. And I know that he had a piece in the Players' Tribune. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but how has Milan Lucic been missed in Boston? And you know, what do they miss most about not having Milan Lucic in the lineup? It seems like Milan Lucic hasn't been a Boston Bruin for a long time, but he was just traded in the summer to the LA Kings. Just talk to us about Milan Lucic and how loved he is still in Boston.
Well, he's definitely loved. I mean, he's exactly what the fans expect from their Boston Bruins players. Some skill, some toughness, intimidation factor, and plays the game hard. Is willing to drop the gloves and defend teammates and you know, instill some fear into opponents, and you know, can put all that in a power forward package where he can play on the top line and play that roughhouse style. And the Bruins, he's beloved because of that, obviously. And he was good off the ice, too. He was involved in a lot of stuff in the community and, you know, a charity softball game every summer, and that included all of his teammates. And so he did a lot of things around town as well. But on the ice, the Bruins have missed him profoundly this year. I think teams are not afraid to play the Boston Bruins anymore. You know, whether it's going and taking liberties and going after some of the Bruins players and knowing there's no retribution coming your way. Just the home ice, which used to be so tough for teams to come into because it was an intimidating place with guys like Chara and Lucic and Sean Thornton. And, you know, you go down the list, almost all those guys are gone now. And it just seems to me, watching this entire season with the Bruins, teams are no longer afraid to come in and kind of punch the Bruins in the mouth and make an opening statement and get really physical with them. And it's a much different team. They're not as big and strong as they used to be. The Anaheim Ducks came into Boston right before the All-Star break and absolutely just pushed them around. And you would never seen that in the past. So I think him leaving really changed the identity of the team and took a lot of the muscle and the intimidation factor out of the Boston Bruins. And it's reflected on the home ice that I talked about as well. You know, just the performance there has been dreary this year. And I think Lucic being gone has a lot to do with it. So they miss him a lot. I understand why they did it. They couldn't afford to pay him the long-term big-money deal that he's going to be looking for after the season is up. They got two first-round picks. In essence, they got two first-round picks, a blue-chip defenseman prospect in Colin Miller and an NCAA prospect. In the deal that sent him to L.A. after they traded Martin Jones to San Jose. So they got a haul for Lucic as far as assets. So you can't really fault them for why they did it and what they got in return, but there's no doubt that they absolutely miss him in that lineup on a nightly basis.
Joe, you mentioned Colin Miller. What do you think so far of his game?
I like him a lot. I don't know if Claude Julien shares my opinion because he finds himself out of the lineup quite a bit, but I think he's taken some hits confidence-wise as the year's gone on. And, you know, he was awesome in the AHL last year. He had, I think, close to 20 goals and 50-something points, and he was dynamite for the Manchester Monarchs. So he came in with a lot of cachet this fall into training camp, and he can skate, he can shoot really hard, he can make a good first pass. He's physical enough for a guy that's going to be a puck-moving defenseman with high-end offensive skill. That you like what you see out of him. I think it just it hasn't happened for him consistently. And I think as the year has gone on, I think he's lost some of that sort of swaggering confidence that you need to be a real top-end puck-moving defenseman. He was sent down to the AHL right before the Winter Classic because of the Brad Marchand suspension that caused them to create a roster spot by sending him down to the AHL. And I think he was pretty bummed out about that. So it's been a tough year for him, but the skill is there and the potential is there. And I think once he gets on the other side of this rookie season that's been trying for him, he's going to be a much better player. And I think he's still got at least top four upside, if not top pairing upside, in the NHL because of the 105, 106-mile-an-hour slap shot, because of the fast skating, because of the puck-moving skills. I think he's just a 23-year-old kid that's going through that learning curve in the NHL as a defenseman. For my money, I think it's the toughest position to play between defenseman, goalie, and forward. And he's having those issues this year, but he's going to end up being a better player for it.
What do you think, Joe, happens with Louis Erickson? I mean, you know, he's, to me, we talked about him on this past Saturday's show and how him and Andrew Ladd really could fit on a lot of teams, wingers who can score, who have reasonable cap hits, and our ability to play two-way games. What do you think the percent chance is he gets moved, and what are the Bruins looking for in return? Is it going to be a defenseman?
Yeah, I mean, in the perfect world, I think they would like a defenseman. And obviously, if it's a significant defenseman, especially a defenseman that's young, you would need to package much more than Louis Erickson to get that. You know, I think, and I don't even know that that's going to happen this year. It might be something that happens in the summertime. If it's for a young defenseman. But in their perfect world, if they could package like Louis Erickson, one of their first-round picks, of which they have two, the San Jose pick and their own, and then prospect to get a young defenseman that potentially could end up being a top-pairing guy, I think they would do that and even add more to the
to the package to make it happen. I think they're hungry for that kind of player, but who isn't in the NHL? And that's part of the problem. And I think it's going to be a difficult sell for anybody to take on a rental like Louis Erickson as part of a package for a deal like that, unless they know that they can sign him and they get some kind of, you know, wink and nod guarantee that he's going to stick around there and not just bolt at free agency. And, you know, the issue with him, I think there's a high percentage he gets dealt. And you're right, he's very attractive because he's good offensively. He plays penalty kill, power play, mm-hmm. tons of minutes, plays a good, very good two-way game, makes the centers better that he plays with. But he's going to want, you know, 5-6 years, $6 million plus per season for his next contract. He's not going to take any kind of a discount to stay in Boston. I don't, you know, he likes it here, but I don't think he's married to staying with the Bruins. And I think he really wants to get to July 1 and see what he's worth. So factoring all of that in, and the fact that they'll no doubt miss him when they're making a playoff push if they trade him away. But I think it's something they have to do. They have to get at least, you know, the standard first-round pick and mm-hmm. Prospect that you can get for him, or, you know, get creative with a defenseman that somebody else is looking to move. I know they were very interested in Dennis Wiedemann before the suspension, and now they've cooled off on that. But, you know, maybe that's the kind of trade you would have seen, is taking on a veteran puck mover for a couple of years that is a cap hit that somebody else wants to get rid of in exchange for Louis Erickson for, you know, a few months. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I would put it as very highly likely that he gets traded before the deadline.
You're listening to NHL This Week. Our guest is Joe Haggerty. He covers the Boston Bruins for CSNNewEngland.com, CSNNE.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Hacks with Hags. Joe, a scary incident for a Bruins prospect mm-hmm. happened earlier this weekend in Portland, where the Providence Bruins were set to take action. Malcolm Subban struck in the throat with a puck. He fractures his larynx. An update on Subban and, you know, the Bruins, you know, expecting he's going to return to full health. Is a scary incident there in the AHL.
Yeah, I mean, the optimism is there, I'm sure. I don't think they really know much at this point, because he was coming back to Mass General in Boston to look, gets looked at by specialists. And, you know, it seems like once you get through the woods of the first few days, you know, without permanent damage, that there's a pretty good prognosis for coming back. I would be highly surprised if he's able to come back this season. It sounds like a significant enough injury that, you know, it probably wouldn't be until next year. I know there was an Edmonton Oilers prospect that had the same kind of injury a year or two ago, a goalie as well, and he came back the next year and played. So, you know, in that respect, it's good news, but I think it's way too early to tell what's going on. And it sounds like, from all accounts, you know, from other people who have had those sort of injuries, that it's, you know, just it's a pretty traumatic injury. It's, you know, not only do you have the, you know, your trouble breathing and you know, the initial panic when you're on the ice as to, you know, what the hell just happened, but I guess for most people that suffer the injury, they have difficulty speaking for a long period of time afterwards, which is also pretty tough. So it's you got to hope that Malcolm Subban makes a full recovery and gets better, and that, you know, things are going to be all right for him. But that's a tough injury, and it makes you really want to make certain that, you know, goalies are wearing those throat protectors. Some wear them, some don't. I don't believe Malcolm Subban wore one before. Maybe he will afterwards, because who knows, maybe that would have prevented a really catastrophic injury.
Yeah, Joe, and best wishes from everybody here from A Legal Curve to Malcolm. We've got a few questions left for you here, Joe, and we appreciate you coming on. Wanted to ask you about Brad Marchand. He's having an awesome year, and I'm a big Brad Marchand fan. I realize that, you know, he's a bit of a polarizing...
You're one of the only ones.
Yeah, he's a polarizing guy around the league, but I love the way he plays the game, and he's got 24 goals, and he's on pace to smash his career record for goals. He entered the year with 420 goal seasons. Do you think Brad Marchand is underrated as a goal scorer? Because to me, he isn't getting as much attention as he deserves.
Yeah, because I think he's got everything else that goes on with his game, right? Mm-hmm. I think people, first and foremost, get, you know, knocked over the head with the antics and the, you know, the agitating stuff that he does, and the, you know, things that make him hated in so many other cities. I think they get preoccupied with that. And because he's involved in all that stuff, I think it takes away from him getting credit for how good a player he really is. You know, he's been basically, you can put it in the bank, 20-plus goals every season, every full season that he's been in the NHL. He's been a top-six forward, basically, you know, from halfway through his first NHL season. He was a fourth liner when he first came up. Then he got bumped up to Patrice Bergeron's line back in 2010-11, when the year they won the Cup, about midway through the year. And ever since then, he's been by Bergeron's side. And those two have become one of the best duos in the NHL together. And I think he's really taken a step up just overall in his game this year. He's at an age where he wants to become more of a leader, and he knows he has to because it's a young team, like I talked about, you know, because he's one of the top players, and also because he's a vocal guy that will, you know, say what needs to be said in the dressing room. So I think he knows that he needs to walk the walk if he's going to talk the talk, and he really stepped up his game consistency-wise. There would be times in the past where he would disappear for a little bit, or, you know, he might not show up for a game or two. But that has disappeared this year, and I think he's played with intensity and effort and energy every single night. And, the offensive numbers speak for themselves. He's on a pace for close to 40 goals. His career high is 28. 12 of those goals that he scored this year have given the Bruins the lead. 16 of them have given them the lead or tied the game. He's been incredibly clutch. And he plays the game hard, you know, for a team that isn't as hard to play against as they were in the past. He's still a pain in the butt to play against, and they need more players like that. And it's funny, I think, and I wrote about this, I do think that the Brad Marchand thing plays into the Louis Erickson thing as well, because he's up after next season. And it may come down to the Bruins. Are they willing to pay Brad Marchand 5 to 6 years and $6 million plus a season, or Louis Erickson that kind of money? And I think that, hands down, they're going to pay Marchand that contract. And, you know, they're probably not going to want to give it to two different wingers and tie up that much money up front when they already have two centers that are making huge contract money in Krejci and Bergeron. So, I think the fact that he's having such a great season and that the Bruins think so highly of him just speaks to, you know, him taking another step this year. And people don't want to hear it around the league, but he might end up being on that Team Canada in the World Cup too. So I think people around hockey are noticing that he brings something to the table much more than just being a pain in the butt as well.
I think you're right, Joe.
Lovely. It'll be an international incident as opposed to just an NHL incident. Joe, we'll let you go on this last question. We were talking earlier in the show about the importance. All the best teams in the league, the ones who are, you know, close to the salary cap, you know, they always need young talent, young cheap talent to come in and infuse their lineup. The Bruins have a guy playing in Providence, Alex Kokolev, if I'm pronouncing his name properly.
Kokolev,
pardon me. He's been quite vocal about not wanting to be in Providence really this year. He's been there for the majority of the season, 35 games, only 5 games with the Bruins. He's an RFA at season's end, and he's been honest about, you know, the KHL is certainly a possibility for him if there's not going to be the playing time in Boston. How is that situation sort of playing out this year, and what do you think happens with him in the offseason?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not one of the prospects moved in the deal at the deadline. I think he needs a fresh start somewhere else. And, you know, he's a top-six center. You know, he's a top-two-line center. And that's a tough spot to be in when Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci are around. Mm-hmm. And, I think there's some frustration there that he hasn't been able to bust in. But, you know, by the same token, when he's had chances, and he's had some pretty good ones over the last couple of years, he hasn't really done a lot with them. When he's up with the Bruins at the NHL level. So, yeah, he's proven everything he needs to prove at the AHL. He's been a good player down there. He's productive, he scores goals, he gets to the front of the net. You know, he does all the little things. I watched him a lot in the AHL playoffs last year because the Bruins weren't in the playoffs, and he was dynamite, you know, strong on the puck, creating plays, hard two-way player. It was really good. But you haven't seen that guy show up at the NHL level yet. And, you know, it might be just a matter of giving the chance or giving a long period of time to sort of get comfortable and really show what he can do. You also look at him a little bit, and I think he's going to have to show you that he can do it at the NHL level. Not the fastest guy in the world, not the biggest guy in the world. So he's going to prove that he can do in the AHL and replicate in the AHL and what he's done there in the NHL, given the size and the skating speed limitations. You know, he's a second round pick. I mean, he should be able to do that. And I think if he's given a shot somewhere else, he probably would be able to show that he can do that. It's just tough when you know, he's going to come up and be a third or fourth line center with the Bruins, and he really needs to have skilled players on either side of him if he's going to have success.
Joe Haggerty covers the Boston Bruins for CSNNE.com. Follow him on Twitter at Hacks with Hags. Joe, really appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us this evening.
You got it, guys. Now you can get back to the Dustin Byfuglien talk.
Appreciate it, Joe. Take care. Let's head to break. Joe is right. More Dustin Byfuglien talk. Phone lines are open. 780-1290. We want to hear what you have to say about Byfuglien's contract extension.
Listening to NHL Midweek with the Oligo Curve on your home of the Winnipeg Jets and all things NHL. TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Hey, 25 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to NHL This Week for a Monday edition of the program. This segment brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey. Conveniently located at Cordon and Lanark in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's is a family-owned and operated traditional-style deli. Take it home or eat in their full-service restaurant. Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for nearly 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. Phone lines are open, 204-780-1290. When you hear one caller hang up, that's your cue to get in on the conversation. We start with Dave. Dave, welcome to NHL This Week. Your thoughts regarding the Dustin Byfuglien contract extension.
Yeah, I got a question for the boys. Do you think Ezra's a brass monkey or a funk? I'll take my answer off the air.
Already asking about this. Byfuglien's not the priority. It's questions about Ezra.
Well, that's our good friend Dave Shore right there. And I think to answer the question for the group, I'm definitely a brass monkey.
I'm glad we clarified that. I don't really know what any of this is about.
You know the Beastie Boys song?
Yeah, it doesn't really.
Drew has no clue what the Beastie Boys, eh?
Yeah. I mean, we've well documented my lack of knowledge regarding music.
Richie's a funky monkey.
I've never pretended whatsoever to be anything other than a music ignoramus, as opposed to a hockey ignoramus, which I demonstrate on a weekly basis on the program.
Great call, Dave.
Yeah, great call, Dave. 780-1290. Phone lines are open. What do you think about the Jets signing Dustin Byfuglien? What do you think about Drew Stafford being suspended for one game for the incident on Saturday in Colorado?
You know, watching it live, Drew, I didn't think it was a big deal. But then after seeing the replay, I watched that replay over and over again. And it seems like Stafford gets frustrated that he's getting held and is a little bit reckless with that stick. When you want to be reckless with the stick, because I think probably I've done it a time or two, you can. It doesn't seem intentional, mm-hmm. but it doesn't seem unintentional, if that makes any sense.
You're not holding it as tightly and you don't mind if it whips around a little bit.
And the more I watched it, the more I thought, you probably can't be condoning that kind of stick use. Even the recklessness of it, even if he misses him, you can't have that going around. So I'm okay with it. You know, Drew Stafford has been playing well, but I'm okay with that suspension. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, it was an accident. Come on. I mean, he didn't mean to do that, but
let me ask you this. Okay, and again, live, I thought it was an accident. More I watched in a replay. Swinging the stick that actively like that, like if he misses, it looks like, what does it look like? I mean, I think it looks like he's trying to hit him in the head if he misses.
Sure. You disagree, Ez?
He said it was an accident. It looked like an accident.
Yeah, he meant to take his head off.
Well, I mean, Drew Stafford's not the type of guy that I think has ever had any history of doing anything remotely close to that. So,
but you're okay with one game just for the recklessness of it all?
Yeah, no more than one game. No. I actually thought it was going to be a fine. I watched it over and over again, and I can understand the one game.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Joe, you're on NHL This Week. Welcome to the program.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Good.
We're always good, Joe.
For sure. I got a question.
Go ahead.
Morrissey. What are the chances of him making the team next year?
Chances of him making the team next year? It probably
You know, it's a tough question, Joe, because it depends on what the roster is looking like. I mean, right now, if the left side is probably as bare as the roster is currently constructed, you'd think he'd have a pretty good shot. But at the same time, Joe, I mean, this is the roster as it is in the NHL level is kind of the best case scenario for him to make the team, and he hasn't proven from I've only seen a couple games, but he hasn't proven from what I can tell that he's earned that spot. So I don't think as of right now he wouldn't be coming to camp, as far as I'm concerned, trying to play his way out of that spot. He'd have to play his way into it.
Yeah, and I think it's a good question, Joe, and I agree with Rich. I've gotten to see a couple of Moose games this year, and, you know, Josh Morrissey is a guy who obviously the Jets have high hopes for, being a first-round pick back in 2013, and, you know, it's tough to say right now. I think that his chances are decent at making the team next year, and they're certainly weak on the left side, so you'd think that there may be a spot for him on the Jets next year.
Yeah, you know, Joe, the question I'm thinking, and you can obviously elaborate your question, but it does play a factor in what happens with the defense and the contracts.
Correct. I mean, I just found it interesting that Chevy brought his name up in the conversation earlier on the program. I just wonder if he's got some intentions on trying to shop around Enstrom. There's just something that it's telling me that. I mean, it's a lot of money tied up right now in the defense, and mm-hmm. Enstrom might be a tradable asset that they might have, thinking that Morrissey might be able to make the team next year, and maybe not in the top pair or top four, but, you know, maybe the fifth or sixth defenseman. It was just a thought anyway, but... thanks for the call.
Joe, really appreciate the call. Thanks. Appreciate the idea there.
I mean, it's possible Enstrom would be moved now. There, you know, he does have a no move clause with restrictions on where he can go and such. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't, you know, the Jets don't completely control where he goes, depending on if they can get his consent or not. I think there would be a market for Enstrom. I know some people don't love him. I've defended him on their show before. I think he provides a value, and I don't think Josh Morrissey could spring anywhere near the role that Enstrom is playing as of right now, from what I can, in this few games I've seen, but also from people I've talked to, that would be a leap.
Yeah, right. Josh Morrissey's not going to step into a top pairing role with the Jets, as you mentioned, Richie.
I don't even think top four role.
No, and it's quite possible, Rich, and not to say that he doesn't have the ability in him, but first year in the NHL, you'd expect him to get eased in probably on the third pair.
Our next caller definitely hates an illegal curve. Ralph, welcome to NHL This Week with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Good, Ralph. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, Ralph?
I always went by this saying, if anything bothers you, it's not them, it's you. Right? I always look at it that way. But one of the things that I can't understand now, what happens to the stick work that's going on? If you touch a guy's stick mm-hmm. when you're trying to check him and he drops it, it's a penalty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting ridiculous. You know, if you hook a guy, he's off for a penalty. My God, that's why you play hockey. You try to stop him in any way. As long as you don't, this is one thing I can't understand. There's a lot of cross-checking from the back.
Yep.
You know, when I played, you ever had a guy from the back, you're out automatically. Now, you know, it's unbelievable. But I'm getting back to the stick work. That has to be really, really looked at because it's ridiculous. It's slowing down the play, and the guys don't even know what to do. They're holding back, and it's affecting their play, in my opinion.
What do you think of the Stafford suspension?
Well, Stafford shouldn't be suspended. Stafford is... He is, in my opinion, right now, Stafford's the most cerebral player that the Jets got. That guy can stick handle in the phone booth. Mm-hmm. He is, I would say, a superstar right now.
Ralph, appreciate the call.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ralph. You betcha.
Ralph is a beauty. If you listen to the station, guys,
everybody knows who Ralph
is. You know, he's always the first caller on the post-game show. Richie knows that, and yeah. We always like to hear from Ralph.
And you did Saturday's game, but you didn't take calls on Saturday.
We didn't do calls because the game ended at 12:45.
Yes, but, you know, it's one thing Ralph talks about, the cross-checking from behind, and it's absolutely true that back not even that far ago, that, you know, Ralph played, he talks about the years ago that Ralph played, but even in, you know, in the past 10, 15 years, I mean, Ralph may be playing this, but the idea that hitting from behind or crushing from behind and players not leaving themselves that kind of danger zone, as they used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume they still call it the danger zone, but players now turn into those plays to draw penalties or just to protect the puck. And to me, that's something that does need to be addressed. I would agree with that for sure.
Well, Richie, we've always said this. For especially kids, I know we got to get to more calls here, yeah. Drew, and you're waving your hands at me angrily here, but
yeah, that's just a natural reaction, really.
For kids that are just starting to play hockey or in their second, third, fourth years of playing hockey, it's just as important to learn how to take a hit as it is to give a hit, right? Because you got to protect yourself at all times,
mm-hmm.
and you know if you see the numbers, you never want to hit another player, but you still have to be able to properly take a hit into the boards.
JP is on the line. JP, welcome to NHL This Week. Thanks
JP
for holding
Vigier?
On.
JP Vigier?
No, it's not JP Vigier. JP from Fort Jerry.
It's good. You're a good JP, too.
Yeah.
Thanks. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, JP.
Oh, you bet. You guys are awesome. I want to be one of the Winnipeggers. First off, I like Ralph, but... can't say I agree on Dustin Bufflin. I think it's fantastic that I was sure we were not going to get him for anything less than seven on the term. And I think it's just a great thing for Winnipeg that do you not think that he would have commanded a lot more on the open market? I'm just shocked that he signed for that.
You know, JB, I think that's a good question. I think it's about fair market for him there because, you know, I think 6 years, as I wrote on illegalcurve.com, 6 years, 42, so 70 year would be fair market, you know, just in terms of his UFA value. So you shorten it up a year and then you add on the 0.6 and you times it, you know, by the 5 years there, and you're, you know, there you go. You're getting your $3 million extra, make up for it a bit. And I can see your point, though, for sure, in terms of not having to give that extra year. And I think that it's a pretty reasonable deal, fair market overall. But I do see your point that, see, I don't think he would have got seven on the market, 7 years. I think he would have max got 6 years on the market. So then in that case, you're saying the Jets got a deal in terms of an extra a year less, but I think they had to pay for it.
Yeah, I think they had to pay for it, but I'm glad they did. I think it's great he's going to be with our team. I couldn't imagine him grabbing two Jets under and banging their heads together like he does to the rest of the league. So I think it's fantastic. Can I have a couple more comments?
Sure.
Real quick, JP. We're right up against the break, so go real quick, though, bud.
Okay. Number two, I think that I'm probably not in the same camp as most Winnipeggers, but I think it'd be a shame if Vlad didn't. I think this year is an aberration, and I hope they find some way to sign him, because no way we get the same value back for a player of his caliber, and that would be a loss, I think, to the franchise. And the other comment I had to say is I'm also in the minority, I think, on this one, but I think that Travis Hamonic comes with baggage. I don't see how anybody doesn't see that, because he's coming here. You're saying he's choosing Winnipeg. He's choosing to come closer to the problems that that he's having. His personal problems, he's coming here to deal with those. And does that mean he's coming here to focus on the Jets? Anyway, that's just my comment.
JP, appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, JP. Travis Hamonic, him wanting to play closer to home is for personal reasons. We don't know what those reasons are,
mm-hmm.
and we'll leave him at that. I can't say what that comes with, but they're personal, so it's anybody else dealing with things as well. I don't think he ever wanted that news to come out as to the reason why, and we don't know. We understand that he's asked to move closer for personal reasons, but we don't know what those are. And frankly, it's none of our business. So I'll say that. The lad is interesting because that opinion seems to have changed with some people. And I think JP's belief on that was probably the majority's opinion this past offseason.
Let's head to break. More calls, more everything. You're listening to NHL This Week. We are live on TSN 1290.
NHL Midweek with the O'Legal Curve returns on your home of the Winnipeg Jets and all things NHL. TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
You're listening to a special Monday edition of NHL This Week. We're live on TSN 1290. Illegal Curve Hockey is thrilled to be participating in the Riverview Health Center Foundation Cycle on Life coming up on June the 5th. Join IC in raising money for the Riverview Health Center Alzheimer and Dementia Awards by cycling in the event or contributing to Team Illegal Curve. For more information about the Riverview Health Center Foundation Cycle on Life or to join Team Illegal Curve, visit rhcf.mb.ca, send us a tweet at Illegal Curve, and we'll be glad to send you more information. Phone lines are open, 780-1290. What is your opinion about the Jets re-signing Dustin Byfuglien to a five-year contract extension? What do you think is going to happen with Andrew Ladd, with Jacob Trouba, or with any of the other current Winnipeg Jets players? We head back to the phone lines. Claude, welcome to NHL This Week, and are you drinking Kool-Aid?
That's why your show is number one. Capiche?
Thanks, Claude.
You know I'm a real Leaf fan, and we don't drink Kool-Aid.
No, you know that.
No, we don't, because I see things, right? I see the reality of that team. But going back to the very good news, I'm a big Byfuglien fan, and that was a good move by the organization to say yes to Byfuglien. But I don't know. I don't like the way they handled the Ladd affair. So it looks like he might be going, and that's another veteran that we're going to miss in the dressing room, because we don't have enough veterans on that team right now, and too many young players that weren't ready to play, like the bottom. You know what I'm saying? These sure. guys like Kopp, and they're not going to get us to the promised land. But anyways, you guys have a great show. I always tell that to Matt. You guys need more hours on this station.
Thank you, Claude. Appreciate the call as always, buddy.
Yeah, it's a great call.
Ciao.
It's a great call from Claude. And, you know, people are going to think Claude is related to us, like he's a right. second cousin or something like that.
Maybe
the
he
way
is.
He's hyping us up here. But, you know, he makes a good point. And it remains to be seen if Andrew Ladd is going to be signed or if he's going to be traded. We're going to find out in less than 3 weeks, obviously. But it's obviously been a difficult time for him coming off of that career year, Richie. You know, Ladd has played well as of late. He started to pick up some goals and points here for the Jets, but it's always going to be difficult when you have players at their point in their careers, pending UFAs. Both guys are wanting, you know, $6 to $7 million a year. And when you have guys like Scheifele and Trouba who are coming off of their entry-level deals. But, hey, it remains to be seen. I mean, we talked about it in the first hour. It's still possible that Andrew Ladd gets done here and signs an extension with the Winnipeg Jets. You might say that it's improbable at this point in the season, right, Richie? But there's still a chance that he remains a Winnipeg Jet.
Absolutely, as we were talking about before. I thought it was an interesting point there by Claude about the veteran leadership. And obviously it's your captain, but yeah, I mean, you need some veterans in the room, and does it need to be Ladd or not? That's a question that we're going to see answered shortly, you think. But you do need you can't just have all young guys. That's a fair point.
Let's go to break. We have to take a quick break here. We'll come back for one final segment. Before we do so, though, caller number one, the first caller who comes through right now, you're going to win four
first
tickets.
One.
Four, yeah, you're going to win four tickets to Rumors for Friday, February 12th, this coming Friday.
Here we go.
The 10:30 show. Caller number one right now, four tickets to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club.
NHL Midweek with the O'Legal Curve on your home of the Winnipeg Jets and all things NHL. TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca. Here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
One final segment of NHL This Week. For this Monday, the 8th of February. Big congratulations to Alex. He's won the 4 tickets to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Probably have a couple more sets of tickets to give away on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. here on TSN 1290, as we'll get you set for the Jets and the Oilers. Another late night start after the this past Saturday's game. You know, this past Saturday's game, I think, is to some extent a bit of a microcosm of the Jets season in that...
Hey, that's my word.
Is that... Okay, that's your
word. I used it on Saturday.
It's true. Just, you know, fans watching the Jets probably sit there and see, you know, frustrated. You know, why can't they play like this night in, night out? Game in, game out.
Is that what every team thinks whenever their team wins a game?
Sure. I mean, that's probably what every team thinks. But, I mean, you know my point, is that they a game that the Jets have real no reason necessarily winning, quote-unquote, after laying an egg on Friday at home, they go to Colorado and they beat the Avs by that 4-2 margin.
Well, they're better than the Avs. I mean, that's why. I mean, in my opinion, they're more talented than the Avs. I appreciate, though, that, and I agree with you, that they could have just packed it in, especially after Friday's performance at the for the first period and, you know, in a bit. I don't disagree with you there. But if you're a Jets fan, you'd think you'd be happy that they came out and had a good performance, although now you have a crew of fans that's probably bigger than a small crew that is hoping for them to not succeed in order to have a high draft pick. I would suggest, and I would expect almost Ezzy, that the re-signing of Dustin Byfuglien would give this team an internal boost.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these types of questions are going to come up when you have a team that hasn't won 3 games in a row this year. I mean, the Jets haven't played well this year. And they're definitely underperforming. But, you know, fans and media alike are going to be asking, where did that performance come from when, you know, that was preceded by some pretty lackluster performances, especially the Carolina game, giving up 4 goals in that first period.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think to your point, Rich, I think you're 100% right. I expect that you're going to see a more motivated Winnipeg Jets team, at least for the next couple of contests, as the reverberations of the Byfuglien signing echo throughout the locker room. I mean, by all accounts, it seems like it's a fairly close-knit group in the dressing room, particularly since, Evander Kane was shipped out almost a year ago.
Yeah.
Well, it was a year ago the next week, if I'm not mistaken, or a year ago, maybe this coming weekend, is when he was shipped out to Boston. Buffalo.
I don't think there's an anniversary dinner, though.
There probably won't be. At least we won't be invited to one. He might be celebrating an anniversary dinner, but that's a separate issue altogether. Yeah.
You know, speaking of that, we haven't even talked about this. We recently just hit 7 years of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Our first show was actually back in February 2009, and none of us brought a cheesecake to celebrate.
That's true. None of us did bring a cheesecake. I mean,
good by Ezzy to
good memory.
Figure that out,
yeah, good
7
memory.
Years. Can you believe that?
Well, I mean, when we started 7 years ago, I mean, and it is, I'll see if I can look up the exact date right now. But it's amazing that,
February 4th, around there.
Oh, well, that's definitely would be 7 years.
Back on Kick FM.
Back on Kick FM, exactly right. And I mean, there was no hockey team in Winnipeg, no NHL hockey team in Winnipeg 7 years ago. So it's, you sort of lose track of it, but it's much nicer to be talking about a lengthy contract extension. The Manitoba Moose never really... when they were the farm team for the Canucks, they never really talked about contract extensions or contracts or salary cap or anything along those lines, because in the AHL, it's just not a significant part of the conversation.
I'll bring a cheesecake for this Saturday's show.
That would be good.
Yeah. What kind of cheesecake should I bring? Cherry?
I'll tell you what. Are you making the cheesecake? Or are you going to be buying it yourself?
I don't know how to make a cheesecake, so I'll probably just buy one.
I'm pretty sure you know how to eat a cheesecake, though.
Oreo, maybe?
I do. I enjoy all sorts of cheesecake. I'm not especially picky.
No, I saw. By the way, speaking of a 7-year anniversary, I saw Marty Gold downtown today. So that's
it's all
together.
Coming full circle there. Yeah. Then exactly right. I thought you were going to say something about cheesecake and me enjoying cheesecake.
No,
Marty likes cheesecake.
Well, there you go. All good people like cheesecake.
I don't like cheesecake.
I don't understand this. Well, you're not a good person. That I understand. But how do you not like cheesecake?
Because you love cheese. Nobody loves cheese more than Richie, but he doesn't like cheese in cake form.
That's true.
I
don't like cream cheese.
How do you not like cream cheese?
Yeah, well.
I used to like it when I was a kid. I don't like it anymore.
Do you like it on a bagel?
No, I don't like it in general. Bagel or not.
But you like bagels.
I do like bagels.
I just find this to be very bizarre.
So anyhow, big news today, Dustin Bufflin signed a contract.
5-year contract extension, of course, for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, so obviously we now have 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today, we're going to be on air with another Monday edition of NHL This Week. That's trade deadline day. We'll recap the entire trade deadline on February 29th. Or, you know, is Andrew Ladd, you know, I know what you said earlier, 65-35, you think that he's not going to be a member of the Winnipeg Jets?
I still think the odds are, Drew, that he gets dealt. But I, as I said earlier, I don't think it's impossible by any means to see him re-sign with the Jets. And, you know, you get to that February 29th, we've been talking about that for a long time, and this deal comes through this afternoon kind of unexpectedly, the timing, although within the next 3 weeks you thought something would have to happen, right? So not that unexpected. And you look at it and you think, okay, well, the direction of the franchise will be very much determined by that February 29th. And we're not talking about a team making a run for a Stanley Cup final or whatever it may be, but you're going to see where this team is headed contractually too. And how much money, we talked about the back end, loading up money on the back end and replacements up front, and you know, Pavel coming back in the picture over here in the next little bit. It's a very interesting time, even though the Jets are quite a bit out of it. It's a very interesting time to evaluate Kevin Cheveldayoff here. And I still think that evaluation is going on. Like, we need to see what this team looks like at the end of the season, and it'll be 5 years on the job, and has he done a good job or not?
Yeah, Richie, it's going to be really tough to say at this point whether Andrew Ladd's going to sign a contract or he's going to be traded. But more importantly, when's the next time I'm going to win here on Roll Up the Rim to Win?
I know.
Richie rolls up the rim. He didn't win.
I never win.
Just rolled up my cup. I think I'm 1-for-10 now.
Yeah, it looks like you want a 5-year, $38 million contract on here.
You can buy us coffee every weekend.
And hey, I love Tim Hortons, but last year, both sides of the cup had the Roll Up the Rim to Win. Now only one side of the cup has the Roll Up the Rim to Win. It seems like I'm not winning as much as last year. Like, last year I was just swimming in donuts and free coffees. Now, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think probably it's a good thing you're not swimming in donuts anymore. That would be my first comment about that, especially considering you've apparently promised to bring cheesecake. If you bought twice as many Tim Hortons coffees, you would have twice as many opportunities to win as you did before.
So the Blues play tomorrow. Blues Jets.
Yeah, Blues Jets tomorrow evening at the Scott Trade Center there in St. Louis. Two teams.
You get a break, no pun intended, about the with that, Alex Pietrangelo and his lower body injury there.
Sure.
That's a huge guy to be able to avoid. You know, him and him on the right side there. You know, offensively maybe not having the season that you'd expect him to have, but defensively very, very dependable and moves everybody up a slot. And you know, fortuitous again. The Blues have had a ton of injury problems.
Yeah.
The Jets have been able to avoid that kind of problem like the Blues have had. And talking about a team in transition and what it means, that's certainly a team.
Well, you know
that, and not transition, but kind of make or break.
Sure. If this year isn't the year that they get over the hump and, you know, be at least probably Western Conference Finals, I would suggest winning run round. It's probably not good
one
enough.
One round is not enough, Drew. I agree.
Yeah.
You need to have at least two wins there.
That's
and
right.
Even then, your core is getting older.
But I think to your point about you asked Jeremy Rutherford early in the program about it, I think that a Blues Stars matchup is a pretty good one for the Blues.
Well, it's better than the Hawks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking about how they had trouble with the Stars and their transition speed and different things like that. Sure, I just think the Blues cycle game and their physicality works better against the Stars' back end than it does against the Hawks' back end.
Absolutely.
And guys, even I know we're up against the end of the show here, Drew, but even though the Jets catch a break with Alex Pietrangelo being out of the lineup and Jaden Schwartz isn't back, this Blues team is still only 3 points behind the Dallas Stars, and they have the third most victories at home, 17 home victories. They're a very good home team, a very tough team to play against. They defend very well, even without Pietrangelo in the lineup. So hopefully the Jets can follow up that victory against Colorado on Saturday with another win in their own division.
Well, they certainly play the Blues tight. I mean, for the last 5 years, pretty much every game between the Jets and the Blues tends to be a one-goal game. We'll see if
it'll be a one-goal game again, I bet.
It seems to always be the case. So always enjoy watching the Blues. It's a good battle between the Jets and the Blues. That game, of course, tomorrow night, you can hear it live on TSN 1290. Big thank you to Jeremy Rutherford of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Joe Haggerty of CSNNewEngland.com, and a big thank you to you for your contributions via the phone on this special Monday edition of NHL This Week. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Riverview Health Center Foundation, Cycle on Life, Keener Jerseys, and the Rady Fitness Center. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com. For producer Rory, for Richard Pollock, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck.
As long as we stick together, the team will be all right.